Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone's nonstop sports talk continues.
Coming up on the Midday 180, we're ready with reaction to a jam-packed Labor Day weekend of news. Phone lines are open throughout the day, plus Blake Bedingfield and John McClain. The Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Glad you're with us. Tuesday edition is here. Hopefully everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Yes, Chad Withrow did show up to work today. A lot of people on Twitter last night wondering if Chad will be there. He's here. The crew's all here. David Reed, the chairman of the board, and Tennessee lost to Georgia State.
And admit it, you have been waiting for this right now.
This moment.
And then we begin. As we should.
Who's been waiting for this moment?
Our audience. Everyone. Our audience. Oh, been waiting to hear from us about this, and we start with the DYB. Go!
First off, DYB to what Hutton said, first off, I'm no loser, so there was no doubt about me showing up today. And I'm not going to sit here and treat this like a loser would treat it, like most people in Knoxville are losers, including the current football team.
Team's a loser.
So,
yes,
Tennessee can show me everything they need to show me on Saturday night with how they play. Because my thought is, watching that on Saturday, too late? They should just cancel?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's too late. Whatever they do Saturday doesn't undo what just happened.
It doesn't undo. No, it absolutely doesn't undo it. But it's going to show me what this team's going to be like the rest of the year. They can show up and half-ass it and look confused and play with zero enthusiasm like they did on Saturday and lose by 20 to 30 points to BYU and probably go 1-11 or 2-10 this year. And it's not going to get Jeremy Pruitt fired after year two. But put him firmly on the hot seat in year three, or they can man up and play like they care one time. And that's what's going to happen on Saturday night, or it's not, and Tennessee's going to go 2-10. But what happened on Saturday was a complete disaster. There's no defending it. Head coach on down. Head coach, assistant coaches, the team, confused, didn't play particularly hard, had no fire. When it clearly was going to be a game, they were surprised it was going to be a game, obviously. When it was a game in the second half, they had no response. They had no ability to pick it up. Even when they need to play fast, they can't. This team plays in one gear offensively, can't adjust at all. It was a total disaster, and that's what leads to a historic loss like that against a team you were 25-point favorite against.
The Vols, uninspired football. 615-737-1045.
The absolute definition of it.
Confusion, laziness. No awareness, no urgency. It's the same description of a team that I saw play against Missouri and Vanderbilt to end last year. This was not some fluke performance. This was a carryover from last year. That's what's so disturbing about this. And they lost to Georgia State. They were 2-10 last year. Georgia State was singing Rocky Top on the Tennessee visiting sideline in the third quarter after a touchdown drive. They're over there singing Rocky Top. In the third quarter, they knew they were going to win that game.
And Jeremy Pruitt has no carryover. You talk about carryover, you're absolutely right. And he's got no carryover from where he came from in terms of understanding how to light fires, get people up for the occasion, understand the importance of gaining control in a game like this, having his team understand what it should be. The advantages it should have in a game like this, asserting control, retaking control, pulling away. We saw a lot of teams this weekend for a time struggle, and then they take over. Last night, Notre Dame, for a time, struggled with Louisville. And then it did what a team like Notre Dame against Louisville should do, and it found its footing, and it did what? Took control and pulled away, right? This just can't happen and you can't have you're comparing
Louisville to Georgia State.
No, I know, which is ridiculous, right? But this is a
Louisville went 2-10 also last year,
right? Yeah, but I mean,
completely different.
Louisville played.
I understand that, but I'm saying here's a team that was playing down to its level of competition, and found its footing and played up. I mean, at Tennessee, it shouldn't even have been a question.
No, yeah.
But if you're playing down to the level of competition, ultimately you gather yourself. And you have the conversations you need to have, and ultimately you put your foot on the gas, and you get into gear, and you pull away, and it's not a problem. This is as big an embarrassment as is imaginable.
And it's the worst loss in 40 years in the SEC in terms of favorite and standing. I mean, there's been some FCS losses to teams not in Division I, Georgia Southern, beating, maybe they were Division I at the time. There's been some losses like that over time. This hasn't happened to Butch Jones. Didn't happen to Derek Dooley. They didn't lose to a non-Power 5 team. Now, even teams, every team that's non-Power 5, that's Group of 5, Tennessee has beaten since 2008 against Wyoming. And, oh, by the way, Wyoming gets a big win over Missouri in the SEC. I mean, the one saving grace for Tennessee right now, if you're looking at anything, they were by far the worst team in the SECs this week, and after week one, they are the worst team in the SEC, and there's no questioning that. The rest of the SEC East is not good. Outside of Georgia, Missouri loses, Kentucky struggles, South Carolina loses. Vandy, I thought, looked good in the second half, the way they were able to hold Georgia to field goals.
It was more competitive after it was 21-0 in that game, Georgia and Vandy.
Yeah.
But once it's 21-0, it doesn't matter.
The game is over.
We talked too about how people like state-run media increasingly. UT is an absolute embarrassment with its state-run media. What was its last tweet, the last thing we heard from it socially? When they took a lead on a field goal.
Yeah.
And then they went dark until Sunday afternoon, when they turned to next week and said, time to get ready, and put up a logo of them against their next opponent. That is some weak-ass bleep.
It is.
That's pathetic. Well, and if you like state-run media, then you better get ready for hearing nothing from the University of Tennessee about football this year, because it's a bad team that's going to have nothing to say if all it talks about is positives. And you should be pissed off about that. They don't run the press conference. You didn't want to see what Jeremy Pruitt had to say after that game. So they don't stream the press conference. That is some weak, weak, soft stuff.
But what do you expect the university to put out there?
Well, you run the press conference.
Yeah, you stream the press.
Well, as far as putting something out on Twitter, what do you expect them to do? The people who failed
here, update the score.
The people who failed here are the rest of the media in Knoxville, who did not prepare anyone for what happened on Saturday. All we heard is how Jerry Garantano
that
part's true.
They were spreading sunshine and unicorns and rainbows all offseason about how much better this team was going to be.
Well, we've been spreading sunshine and rainbows about this coaching staff since they were brought in to replace Butch Jones. And quite frankly, they're no better from what I've seen last year and this year. We've been talking about how they're ball coaches. How do you not scheme a defense? An SEC defense to defend what we saw against Georgia State.
How do you not
get guys aligned?
I don't think they're an SEC defense.
Where's
right
the
now.
Communication? This is one of the highest paid coaching staffs in America, and they can't get guys properly aligned to go make a tackle?
I don't understand.
It doesn't have to be an SEC defense to play against Georgia State.
I don't understand how everything that should be logical about Tennessee football becomes illogical at all times. All of these guys have had tons of success everywhere they've been, and collectively they get to Tennessee and they suck. I don't understand it. I understand the thinking behind hiring Jeremy Pruitt with a dynamite staff. I understand the thinking of bringing in Jim Chaney, who I'm sure will get better as the year goes on. It can't be any worse than the game he called on Saturday. But I don't get how it's like you arrive in Knoxville and you forget everything you've ever learned. Maybe this is a good teaching staff leading up to a game or during the week or whatever. They can't coach in game right now. There's zero adjustments. Only adjustments were made were from Georgia State at halftime. I thought, hey, Tennessee can't play any worse. And they're up 17-14 at halftime. They'll win by two or three scores pretty comfortably. And they got worse. Georgia State made adjustments. Tennessee had nothing. They had two defensive ends lined up on the same side of the field at one point. Now, that's obviously coaching and not being prepared. But also, how dumb are you? if you're a defensive end and you line down and you see another defensive end right next to you in the same spot to not move.
This is where it gets me on the coaching staff, and it starts with Jim Chaney for me. The playmakers. This offseason we've been discussing, Jim Chaney's actually going to put the ball in the hands of the playmakers in this game against Georgia State, where literally you just throw a screen pass and get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Chandler had 8 touches the entire game. 6 carries, 2 receptions. Jennings, 7 touches, 1 touchdown. Callaway, 3 catches, 1 touchdown. Woods Anderson had a couple of touches.
He had a 54-yard reception on a scheme. That was the one schemed-up play of the game. They got the ball back, I think, on a turnover and immediately went to a little trickeration where he was wide open on the backside. Almost scored if it wasn't a tight end catching it.
So between Chandler, Jennings, Callaway, and Wood Anderson, they had 21 combined touches for 3 touchdowns. 21 touches on 70 plays. 70-plus plays in this game. That is a huge...
Less than a third.
Huge glaring issue with Jim Chaney for me. Massive.
Yeah.
Especially once things start going poorly. Like maybe you scheduled that. Maybe you were thinking, hey, you know, that percentage of touches
they
should be fine against
Georgia. They only had 8 rushing first downs against Georgia State's defense. This defense was terrible last year. Terrible.
And they paid, what, $950,000 for this beatdown?
They had 97 yards rushing in this game.
Phone lines are open, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
So
I think here's the issue now that you have to deal with all of Tennessee football. There's going to be anger today, and rightfully so. There's not a lot of anger being shown by that program, which pisses Tennessee fans off even more. There seems to be a complete lack of awareness, at least publicly, from Jeremy Pruitt, that this is a disaster of a game. And the inability to treat it like that and kind of come in and say, hey, you know, we did some things good and we just got outcoached and but no explanation of how that's inexcusable at this point is really going to anger Tennessee fans. Next step is they just won't show up. Next thing is they go out and lose to BYU. There's going to be a good crowd Saturday night against BYU, I'm expecting. They go out and lose to BYU, you're going to have 40,000 people against UTC.
They'll be booed off the field.
And when you're losing and you're having 40, 50,000 people, which we haven't seen yet at Tennessee, we didn't until the end of the Butch Jones era, where you know by the second half no one was there, that's what gets coaches in trouble. Then the follow-up question that would be, do we really think that Philip Fulmer is going to pull the plug on the guy he hired after year 2? It's not going to happen. I don't think there's anything that can happen this year to get Jeremy Pruitt fired, but if they don't turn this thing around quickly and fully recognize, I don't care if they do it publicly because clearly they lie to the public. Honestly, Paul, your take on I don't care about Tennessee social media. I'm unfollowing them. I don't care what they put out there. I don't care what they say. I don't care anymore about what you say. I don't care about what the media says. Show me. Go out there, and even if you lose by a field goal on Saturday night, play your ass off. I want 15-yard penalties if that's what it takes. I want guys flying to the football. I want to see some emotion out of the offense at times. Show me something. Don't talk anymore. Because clearly when they talk, they're lying. And that's going to piss everyone off moving forward.
Chad, what were you getting into it with on social media about the reaction in the locker room? Because whatever you retweeted was deleted.
Yeah, Jordan Murphy, who's a receiver for Tennessee, he retweeted some funny meme, GIF, whatever, of this is what it'll look like when Georgia State's AD comes and takes the $950,000 from Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever, and he said, sorry, but you got to, you know, this is really funny, you know, LOL with like the crying emoji. And I retweeted and said, this is something that a good locker room would handle internally because this should not be funny to Tennessee players. And of course, it caught fire. He deleted it. And look, I'm going to say it now because people are way too soft about this. This is what happens in sports locker rooms. When you step out of line, people come up and threaten you with physical violence at times, leaders of the team. You know why Tennessee won a national championship in 1998? Because they were afraid to God that Al Wilson might kill them at halftime of the Auburn game. And every other moment when they were slacking off. Fred White has talked about this.
Accountability.
Joey Kent has talked about this. You were afraid of the upperclassmen because you wanted to do your job and play hard. And someone was always keeping you accountable. I don't want to see the kid hurt.
Some of that's
obviously
getting your butt kicked. Some of that's falling out of favor with the guy you need to be in favor with in order
right
for your life to be comfortable.
I said there needs to be, if this was a strong locker room, there'd be a code red ordered, and this kid would at least fear physical violence for tweeting something that stupid about the team losing to Georgia State and being funny that his school paid $1 million while he's there on scholarship to get whooped by a Sun Belt team.
Isn't this the same kid who sent out a tweet with a picture of his jersey with his last name on it and said, respect the name? That's part of the problem.
I mean, look, I'm sorry, but GTFO.
Does Pruitt get
If I'm the coach, it's not just a, hey, you know, leave if you feel that way. If you want to go and apologize to the team and say, hey, it was dumb, I was mad because I didn't dress. He's got a mysterious illness now, Pruitt talked about. He's getting tested for something that was never announced before. He wasn't on the depth chart on Saturday.
Stupidity is not an illness.
He's clearly mad that he didn't play. Just leave then.
Does Pruitt
get this? Those are the guys you can afford to leave.
You talked about Pruitt not really getting the magnitude of the loss.
I don't think he gets
it. Now, can he come in there and say, can he come in there and say this is the worst loss in the history of the program? Like, what would have been appropriate for him to say as opposed to what he said? He gave the standard, like, got out coached, got out played, did some good things.
Yeah, but he was accountable in that he said, I was bad, and the coaching staff wasn't good enough, and the players weren't. You know, he said all those things. I don't think you have to say it's the worst loss in school history if you're a coach who's been there for 1 year, not knowing the entire history of the school. But you should go in and say, this is an embarrassing day for Tennessee. And we're going to steal a line from Philip Fulmer, work like heck to make sure it doesn't happen again. And there's nothing we can do about what just happened. It's an embarrassment on me. It's an embarrassment on the players. And we apologize to the fans. You could just say that to open your press conference and be done with it. And then talk about what happened in the game. He didn't do that. Jeremy Pruitt, to me, coached this game like Bud Kilmer. He looks like a high school coach from Alabama, quite frankly. He coached this game like he was playing a 1A opponent in week one. And they could run about four plays at him. And they were going to be just fine. He coached like a preseason game.
Well, normally
that's the way the players played it. That's the way the coaches played it. But Tennessee's not good enough to do that yet. I mean, I get what you're saying, Hutton. But just because they are technically in the SEC doesn't make them an SEC caliber team right now.
Well, it makes them better than Georgia State. Come on.
Of course they're better than Georgia State. But you're acting like they're Bama. They just roll out there.
No, I'm not acting like they're Bama. I'm acting like they're Tennessee, and I'm acting like this is year two for a coach.
They're not Tennessee, though. This is
they are.
This is Tennessee.
This is Tennessee.
That's where people are making a mistake.
That's what I'm saying, though. Tennessee has to get up for Georgia State. Because you say, well, this is Tennessee. They should beat Georgia State. Yes, they should.
This is also
this is what Tennessee is now.
Yes,
this
they
is
suck.
Also
that's
this
what
is
I'm
also
you.
The Pruitt era. The Pruitt era ended with two terrible throw in the towel performances last year. Now, granted, that came against after a good win against Kentucky. They just threw in some layups to end the season against Missouri and had no interest playing in a bowl game whenever they played for Vandy. Got trounced in both, and I'm. Fast forwarding to now, what I saw on Saturday was a carryover from last year. And that's the most troubling aspect of that loss. In and of itself, it's the worst loss that I've seen Tennessee have. Yeah, but if you broaden the scope, that is a trend. That is a huge glaring issue on Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach.
The offseason he had to correct,
yes.
to fix the systemic
the locker room.
Issue. And he didn't. Fix it.
They're
and this isn't like maybe he didn't fix it. He did not fix it.
There's no fire with their quarterback whatsoever. I don't see anything with Jarrett Garantano that says that he's different under Jim Chaney.
Yeah, what did Reed tweet during the game about Garantano? Not an SEC. It doesn't look like an SEC quarterback.
Well, and he's also a guy who's going to go to his first option every time, regardless of who's wide open. He has no internal clock. This has been the issue the whole time. I mean, honestly, I thought the pass protection was pretty good compared to last year. That's one area where they improved. Four sacks, two of them were squarely on Garantano. And the other one is you got to know when someone's coming from across the field on a corner blitz. You have to sense that if they're coming untouched and not have the fumble sack. It's all bad. My point, though, is this is what troubles me the most about Jeremy Pruitt and the staff. They all coach like they're at Bama and Georgia. Which that's fine if you're as good as Bama and Georgia. They went into this game like a preseason dual practice that Georgia State was just going to roll over and lay down and lose by 35 points. And because of that, they got their butt beat, and they had no answer for it.
They don't coach like they're at Bama or Georgia. There's no attention to detail from that coaching staff.
But this is my point. This is an arrogant staff. This, they don't understand the current situation. They clearly don't know this team because they didn't get this team ready.
I can't even run guys on properly. I mean,
what's
at home?
What is that? I'm not saying that he's Nick Saban. I'm telling you, their mindset is
close to that.
Their mindset is we have good enough players that we don't have to have a game plan. They needed to prepare for this game. They didn't.
The one thing about this staff that we've been told is they can coach. I have yet to see this locker room form around that mantra of they're playing versus ball coaches. It's just the same carryover locker room that we've seen for the last couple of years.
Are those coaches,
and it's getting worse,
are those coaches taking it for granted? Like, we're good coaches. These guys are good recruits. They'll fall in line with what we're doing.
I mean,
there's a disconnect there where they're presuming it's going to fall in line, and it's not, and they don't know how to plug it in.
Right now is true right now. Coaches suck. Players suck. Culture's bad. Culture was bad ever since they beat Kentucky a year ago. They didn't do anything to fix it. There's massive organizational problems in game. And I'll go back to this. Jeremy Pruitt coaching like Bud Kilmer. You go for it on 4th-and-1 from midfield against Georgia State and go for the knockout ball. I don't care that you didn't get it on a quarterback sneak the time before. You line up again and go get it. You don't punt the ball away there. You're punting the ball. He's almost treating it like, you know, it's you're playing an SEC opponent. We're just, hey, I'm not interested. No more turnovers type thing. You've got to play more confident. You've got to take more shots. There's so many different things Tennessee could have done in this game, and they didn't. But what I'm saying is, moving forward, and no one wants to hear this right now because they want the season to be canceled after that game, and I get some of that. They have to improve. If this is actually a good coaching staff, which they have not shown yet, they have to get better from week 1 to 2. They have to get better from week 2 to week 3. They have to get where they are competitive and winning some of these SEC games. If they don't, then even though if Philip Fulmer doesn't make the decision at the end of the year, which he won't, we have our answer, right?
Yes.
We have our answer.
This locker room.
Even after year two.
And the coaching staff prior to the new hires, we would describe them as soft. And I've seen nothing to change my opinion on that team off of the last 3 games. Well, they just wilt. There's no fire or execution. And this is, I mean, how do you let that happen? That's what's so troubling.
I don't know how the coaches let it happen. I don't know how the players let it happen. It's week 1 of college football. I didn't see any other teams looking that lethargic. I don't get it. It's like the entire team had the flu. It's very strange.
Like they don't want to be there. 615-737-1045, our number.
There's
up.
No joy.
Right.
With that team and that program. And
it's all drudgery.
All drudgery. And it's only, I mean, you think that's going to get better, the lack of joy part, from what they're going to hear this week, and rightfully so? I just don't. I mean, again, if you're going to keep everything internalized and not tell the media anything and not show practice, you better do a good job internally of keeping your team together, because this is the type of thing that can break you. They look broken to begin with when the game kicked off. But this is something that can break you if you don't have strong leadership, and it starts with the head coach.
Bill, what's up?
League in America.
Hey, guys, how are y'all?
Good, man.
I'm going to try to stay calm in this phone call here. But
the floor is yours.
It's okay if you break down.
Okay.
It's okay.
Very, very I'm still kind of in shock. But one example, you have 2 senior receivers, a junior quarterback. Chandler averaged 8 yards a carry. Did not get the ball in the second half. Garantano, guacamole, whatever you want to call him, scrambles and slid too early and didn't get a first down. And it's 3rd-and-1. Tennessee runs it up the middle. Of course, doesn't get it. Punts it back to whoever we played, and they get the ball and come back down and score. He throws the ball on a 5-yard out. He throws it as hard as he possibly can. No touch. Aubrey Solomon, all I've heard is Aubrey Solomon, how good he is. He looked like he stands straight up, out of shape. He had no clue what he was doing. He was getting pushed 5 yards off the ball every time. I mean, just a total pathetic team effort. Horrible.
Thank you, Bill.
Pretty much summed it up. That sliding a yard short thing drove me insane. because Garantano would at times do a good job of seeing the middle wide open and would run for 7, 8, 10 yards when Georgia State was rushing from the outside. But this sliding a yard short, no. You slide forward if you need to, know where the sticks are, and get the first down. That was infuriating. And there were a few times where he just missed wide open guys because he's eyeing one guy down. He was going to throw to Austin Pope the entire time on 3rd and 3 right there, even though it wasn't going to gain a yard. I mean, the throw to Chandler. Now, granted, Chandler had put the ball on the ground a couple times also, but the one to Chandler, way too hard of a pass in that situation. I think part of this is just post-traumatic stress syndrome. Remember the first play of the game last year against West Virginia? They try to throw that same screen pass to Chandler, and he gets blown up on the play, and it's a fumble going backwards. Looked like a guy on the second play of the game that was afraid the pressure was going to get there so quickly or he wouldn't get rid of the ball in time that he zipped it way too hard to Chandler. But even after all of that, they're up 14-7. The bad start, they go down and score at 7-0. They get their footing. They go up 14-7 and have no killer instinct and no drive. And that is disturbing.
If it was 3rd and 5 to 8, Georgia State was picking up the first down. That's what's so crazy about it.
Well, and it's not just...
It wasn't like a 3rd and 2 that they were converting. I mean, they had some 3rd and shorts.
It's just simple things.
They were just moving the sticks.
They have no idea how to defend the read option. Like simple things like going to the pitch man or taking an angle that's proper. There were times where they'd have two guys in position and they would both take the wrong angle. And the quarterback would keep it and get 15 yards. It just pathetic.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to kind of take Chad's idea and run with it about, you know, we hear so much about this coaching staff and we hear, you know, all the great accomplishments that they've had, and they get to Tennessee and they suck. And then you've got the coaches that leave, you know, case in point, the Chief, John Chavis, leaves and he's the best thing in the world for 10 years. And then last year, Bob Shoup leaves and he's the NCAA Defensive Coach of the Year. I don't get it. Why are we cursed? What in the world is going on where, you know, this is where coaches either come to step on our neck to get to the next one or they come to lollygag until they die? I don't know, man. I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Well, it's, again, the logical seems to always be illogical with Tennessee in the last 10 years. People would look at a team and say, well, that's what I want. Tennessee needs that. Let's go hire their coaches. Or let's go to people who have been at these places. They come to Tennessee, it doesn't work. Okay, let's think outside the box. Let's go get a guy from Cincinnati and bring in a Midwest coaching staff and try to do it. That doesn't work either. I don't know
what the answer is. Let's go get a Maverick.
I mean, honestly, the answer may have been Mike Leach.
Who wants to be at USC.
Who wanted the job. Maybe that's the answer.
How do we think Georgia State's going to do? They host Furman. They're at Western Michigan, Texas State, Arkansas State, Coastal.
Look, I think they're going to be Army, better than Troy, what was predicted. I don't think they're a world beater.
Louisiana Monroe, App State, South Alabama, Georgia Southern. I mean, what I saw, they run the table.
Well, what you saw was a defense running on the field late. I mean, those defenses will be better coached, quite frankly.
Sad.
Yes, it's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
When will Phillip surface and be heard from? Like, is he Hyde now? I mean, not that the AD's regularly speaking on the football team during football season, but like, is he talked to the Kiwanis Club during the course of the football season or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm sure that he'll talk to the quarterback club at some point. I have no idea what his schedule is on that. But I mean, there has
Austin
to be a point
when we talk to him.
There has to be a point of for any AD to step back and let his coach and figure things out. And the one thing you don't want to show is any hand holding going on, which is what would be happening if he had to take a step forward and say anything. Right?
Yeah.
615-737-1045, our number.
It's just uncomfortable now.
Well, the head coach is being paid $4 million plus. He'll be fine. And that staff is being paid a lot, too. We don't have to hear from Phillip Fulmer every time something goes bad. We don't have to hear from Phillip Fulmer. They chose to hire a coach who's never been head coach before because they have faith in him. And right now, I haven't seen anything from him to show that.
Look, I'm not a loser like Tennessee football. So if I want to present this to you as someone who's not a loser would. which is burying that game, even though fans never will, and rightfully so, and things Tennessee could actually improve on from that game. That is one area where Jeremy Pruitt, as tone-deaf as it sounds, has done a pretty good job of saying, I actually like some of the things that happened with some of the players, and I think we can build upon it. It is weird, though, that there wasn't a lot of talk of how young the defense was until after this game, right? There wasn't a lot of preparation for that. The offense looked inexcusable because it's veteran. Yeah. Whatever problems they have is completely inexcusable with a quarterback that's played this much football, too. But suddenly, Jeremy Pruitt's talking a lot about, you know, we just got a lot of young players on defense. They're just figuring things out. Well, they better figure it out quickly.
Georgia State, like, loaded with seniors?
Their offensive line was, I know.
They returned a team, but as Chad said Friday, they returned a team that was 2-10.
Yeah, so is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, yeah, no.
They also ended the season on a low note.
We're going to grow.
And
they started the season on a low note, too, last year. It was all bad.
Yeah.
2-10.
They didn't, whatever they had last year didn't carry over, though.
They went 2-10, returned everyone, and then set a team on their path to 2-10 in their first game the next year. The circle of life.
What's up, Pruitt? Or, sorry, not Pruitt, Bert. He wants to discuss Pruitt.
Guys.
Hey, Bert. Good
morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, I had to work Saturday, so I didn't get a chance to watch the game live, and I didn't even DVR it. I thought we're playing a 2-win team, so I thought it'd be a laugh.
Yeah, it was.
So anyway, my question is, since I didn't watch the game, did you notice what kind of a demeanor did Coach Pruitt have on the sideline? Did he berate anybody?
No, he looked like someone who was sedated.
Yes.
that was the demeanor, yeah. Yeah. He had his hat wasn't even
did
straight.
Did you see Hugh Freeze coaching?
To the side.
Oh, did you see Hugh Freeze coaching? It was a step short of that.
No, Hugh Freeze had more energy.
Yeah, it was just short of that.
Hugh Freeze laying in his hospital bed.
That's just an embarrassment. Why would your university let you do that?
I don't know.
It's also such
a publicity stunt.
Yeah, it's
look how much I care. My Christ-like being is here, and I care
Coach
so
Freeze,
much for these young men.
Are your legs cold? Thumbs do you
up
go
to
the blanket?
You, Coach, at midfield.
Let's
the wave.
One for the Gipper.
The wave. I'm waving to you in your bed up there. I see you. Do you see me? Good game.
Yeah.
Pruitt's demeanor was just short of Derek Dooley in a wheelchair against Mississippi State. I mean, but that's sort of who he is at times. We've seen him get fired up on the sideline, but he never got fired up in that game.
No.
It's no fire.
Neither did his quarterback.
And if you lit him on
and
fire.
And also, the hat was killing me. Like, the hat not straight. Me and my buddies are watching.
Relating to the kids.
Put your hat on straight.
Oh, he's relating to the kids.
Clearly, the headset had knocked it off to the side. It was always cocked to the side.
In that game, especially in the second half, Georgia State opens the second half with a touchdown. And then there was just this lethargic, very lackadaisical approach to the rest of the game offensively for Tennessee. And yeah. I just did not understand it. I'm waiting to see when Garantano gets hit, where's that fire going up to the offensive lineman just fed up with it? You know, for all of this gun-shy approach and he's having flashbacks of West Virginia, it's time to take a step forward and actually call some people out. You're allowed to do that as the quarterback, the returning starter.
I just don't know that he has it in him. I mean, it's the best option they have now.
The whole demeanor of the locker room starts with him.
All right, well, here's my question then about all the recruiting.
Well, that's the problem.
They recruit good football players. Have they recruited guys that have the personality to lead a locker room? Where are there guys on this team who say, look, coach is a dud?
Well, to be we fair, need to, no, you don't need that.
Oh, I need that.
No, well, of course you need it, Paul, but Tennessee football doesn't need it.
They don't need the
they don't need someone
revolt.
Saying, this is, the coach is an idiot, so we're taking over now.
Right.
And calling them. This isn't,
not,
this
that's,
isn't
that's
actually
not
varsity
exactly
blues.
What I was saying.
But to be fair to Pruitt, the guys that should be in leadership positions weren't recruited by him. Now, I will say the freshman that played for Tennessee looked pretty good. I thought Warren Burrell struggled at times filling in for Bryce Thompson, but I thought Henry T looked good. I mean, he flashed. I thought Eric Gray, he looked like their best running back.
I'm not suggesting a revolt. I'm suggesting personality fill-ins for where there's a lack of personality. I'm suggesting leadership filling in where there's a lack of leadership in a natural way.
We'll talk about that coming up at 12:15 because that's part of the point I want to make about this team. By the way, Volquest puts together the Pro Football Focus report for every game, three offensive players for Tennessee graded out by Pro Football Focus as above average starter or better for a college football team. Those three players, number one, Juwan Jennings, number two, Jameer Johnson, number three, Ryan Johnson on the offensive line. Every other player on the offense was below average. Shows you about the way the game went.
Surprised there's that many.
Even Eric Gray was 61.1, which is average starter, is what it grades out as.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, fellas. Hey, very quickly, to the points you guys were just making, you're absolutely correct. I agree with everything you said, particularly the one, the guy who made the comment that they just don't have it in them. If you're working with high school, middle school students these days, you realize that the fire that used to be in the coaches, that used to be in the kids, it's not there anymore. I'm not saying I know the answers. I don't. But a coach told me that if you don't come in now with a known quality of putting fire, of bringing the heat, then you cannot develop it because parents will not allow it. The students will not allow it. They'll just shut down. They'll just tune you out. They'll just quit. I just see it across the board now. Even if you look at some of the premier programs at Alabama, we have the same thing. I mean, the kids just they just don't respond the way they used to when we played, and I think that's part of the problem. I think we're going to see a lot more of it because it's just the culture that we live in today.
I think in terms of yelling and screaming at a guy to berate them, there's a lot of that generationally where players don't respond to it as well. But Sean Elliott and the Georgia State sideline had no problems getting excited for that game and having fire and having emotion throughout. And every other college football game I watched this weekend, I saw no issues with players being ready to play other than Tennessee. That is a Tennessee and a Jeremy Pruitt problem. And I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's some pushover in practice either. You know, I don't think he's a guy that's some shrieking violet that's on the sideline not getting in guys' faces in practice. It doesn't translate to the games, though. And let's face it, the games are what matters. That's what the public sees. Doesn't matter what's happening in practice if they go out there and show no emotion, no heart, no desire on game days. That's why, to me, so much about what happens this coming Saturday against BYU, and I know we'll talk a lot more about it as the week goes on, comes down to what is this team really made of? Because if you want to find out what someone's made of, you put them through the most embarrassing moment in program history in week one to destroy a season and see how they respond from it. We're never going to forget it. Those players better forget it and move on. I'm not going to say forget it. They better use it as motivation that they are the laughingstock of college football nationally. The laughingstock of all of football nationally are the Tennessee Vols this week. How do you respond on Saturday night in front of what's going to be, I think, close to a packed house and 100,000 fans in Neyland Stadium? It's going to tell you everything you know about this team. Either they have a pulse or they don't. Judging by Saturday, they don't have a pulse. We'll find out moving forward if they can gain one.